World War I has been dubbed the most significant event in modern Irish history. On Saturday, 14th of June, at Belfast City Hall, a conference will reflect on a decade of war and revolution here, as well as the road to World War I. I'm joined by one of the organisers, UCD historian Conor Mulvey. Conor, you're very, very welcome indeed.
Thanks, Miles.
Just in relation to World War I, one of the aims of the conference is to take alternate Irish perspectives on questions like the economic impact of the war here. Was the war good or bad for the Irish economy?
This is one of the very complex questions to do with the First World War, Miles. I think what we need to do here is to split the urban and the rural in Ireland. From the rural perspective, this was obviously quite a bounty time for farmers. Any of the large wars that Britain was involved in, Ireland became the breadbasket and, more importantly, the beef basket of the British Army, and therefore had a huge, massive economic impact in terms of bringing that food to the British Army and increasing agricultural prices. However, in urban areas, the question is quite different. On one hand, there was increased separation allowances for women, and in particular, we see women having a spending power within the urban economy during the First World War that they had previously not known on that scale, and as a cohort of consumers in that way. However, spiralling food costs and rising food shortages were something that towards the end of the war began to seriously impact upon urban centres, particularly Dublin, Cork and Belfast. So the mixed perspective is something that we want to bring in on this.
Now, you mentioned separation allowances and you mentioned women in that context, but women's involvement in the war is also on the agenda at this conference. And did many Irish women actually go to France and Belgium on the medical side, obviously?
One of the things we're going to look at in the conference, particularly with people like Dr. Senny Passetto of Oxford University, is the role that women played on the home front, but also on the front line of the First World War on the Western Front and elsewhere, where they served in these medical roles. And I think that's one of the forgotten contributions of the First World War, particularly women who died at the Western Front, behind the front lines in those nursing and palliative roles within the conflict. So these are, again, part of bringing the forgotten voices of the First World War to the public and to a wider audience through this conference.
And what about the effect of the war on women on the home front, aside from the women who were in receipt of separation allowances?
As a historian of Ireland during this period, one of the largest questions for me is, why did women get the vote in 1918? And really here we're split between two questions. One is the question of the broad franchise and suffrage campaign that was waged from the first decade of the 20th century onwards and had a massive social impact throughout the period. However, in analysing why women got the vote in 1918, their transformed and metamorphosized role within society because of the war and because of their changing role on the domestic front in particular is a key aspect of their changed political status after 1918. So that's something, again, we want to visit.
And of course, while war was brewing, we had our own complications and tensions in this country. To what extent is the conference addressing those?
Again, I think this conference is about two things. It's about bringing Ireland into Europe and about bringing Europe into Ireland. And from our perspective, what we want to show is that there were really two flashpoints on each pole of Europe in 1914. And before Sarajevo took over the entire European psyche, Europe was looking to Ulster and looking to the powder keg that was about to explode in Belfast at that point, and whether there would be civil war in Belfast or in Dublin, and whether rival volunteer forces would either clash with each other or with military and police in that very tense summer in Ireland in 1914. So we want to address those simmering political developments that I suppose were about to boil over and were just cut short by the war, and then suddenly the change in volunteering, both from John Redmond's perspective but also from Edward Carson's perspective, that volunteers who had been pledged towards acts that would have been seen as disloyal or certainly extrajudiciary by many, they suddenly became part of the war effort and became incredibly, I suppose, loyal to the British war effort throughout that period.
One of the things that astonished me was the fact that somebody like Asquith, for example, who was the British Prime Minister at the time, was to some extent relieved when the war in Europe began, because it meant that he wasn't going to have a civil war on his own doorstep. I mean, that seems astonishing in retrospect.
Absolutely. This is something that I think really has struck Irish historians. And Michael Laffin was one of the first people, former professor of history in UCD, who looked at this whole question. And he said, in reflecting on the First World War in 1915, Asquith wrote a reflective piece in which he discussed the the First World War as a crisis which had actually saved his bacon and stopped him from being the Prime Minister who presided over a second English Civil War, and that the First World War was the greatest stroke of luck that could have ever happened to him in his political career. So a really different perspective on Irish history from that way.
Ran out of luck the following year, obviously, where he was replaced by David Lloyd George. Conor Mulvey, thanks very much indeed for joining us. Reflecting on a decade of war and revolution in Ireland, 1914, the Road to War will be held at Belfast City Hall on Saturday, 14th of June. You'll find details on our website, where of course you can also download this evening's programme.